Blessed Eternal Father, we want to thank you this morning for the gift of life and your grace upon us. We bless you for your sustaining grace. Thank you for taking us through last week. Thank you for your cares, your provision. Thank you for standing for us in every situation. You are proving yourself to be our shield and our buckler, the great provider. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this privilege to be in your house again. We have come, Lord, as your people, to honor you, to worship you, to appreciate you. Thank you, Eternal Father. We bless you. Thank you for your grace upon your people. Thank you for the word of God that you have sent to us this time, that is working on us, is molding us so that we come in your true image. Thank you, Heavenly Father, as we commit ourselves to you for the entire services of the day. We ask, O God, that you will show us your mercy and grace by stretching forth your hand to heal, Lord, to fill with your spirit, to deliver, and that you make yourself plain to us once again. You cause yourself to be new to us again, that we may, Lord, have understanding better. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Commit the entire service to you once again, asking that at the end of it, your blessings will be our portion, and all glory and honor will be yours, Lord. We remember our pastor. Father, Lord, may you visit him and turn things around for him to your glory. Thank you, Father. Be with your servants in their journeys. Take all the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. God bless you.
God bless you.
Well, I've not left my post of duty. Like Yoruba will say, Ishe lo somonu, lo somonu, bi oko. Is that? Yeah, it's another responsibility. Praise be to God. Yeah, we'll be understanding things by and by. So let's open our Bible to the book of Isaiah chapter 53. Right. We read to verse 12. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet he pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When he shall make his soul an offering for sin, see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word. The Lord bless you while we take our seat. By the grace of God, well, early this year, maybe I may just express that I told the brethren in Bakatari that I will be doing it this way. I told them in January that once in a while I'll be here, while, you know, I'll be there too. And I told them that sometimes when ministers from this assembly will go there, I will be here. Praise be to God. And so, he said, in fulfillment of what I told them, that I'm here. God bless you. So this morning, by God's grace, we want to start looking at the sermon the prophet titled, The Masterpiece. The Masterpiece. The sermon is a lengthy one, 2 hours plus, but it could be preached in an hour, depending on who is handling it. So, by the grace of God, the sermon, the masterpiece, we'll be going through it as God will give us opportunity. The inspiration that brought, that came to the prophet to speak on this sermon, there was a sermon in my mind already that I was trying to prepare for before this one became paramount in my mind. And I believe this will also lead to that. Praise be to God. The prophet got an inspiration to preach this sermon, The Masterpiece. The prophet was invited to Forest Lawn in the West. He was invited to visit the grave of Simple MacPherson, the founder of Foursquare Movement. She was a woman, and she founded the Foursquare Church. Well, the prophet was obligated to visit the grave, not to associate with what the woman believed in terms of woman preacher. You know, the prophet does not believe in the woman preacher. I decided to use the word in the present tense, because the word is in the present tense. The prophet does not believe, because the prophet is the word that is sent to their time. You believe that? Yeah. He doesn't believe in a woman preacher, but he went to honor this woman because of what she stood for, especially during that time, what she has to face to project the gospel to the generation where she lived. Praise be to God. Then the prophet asked this to stay. He said, my mind in thinking this morning, as we journey back, for a few years, I was invited up to Forest Lawn in California, Los Angeles. He said, my first purpose for getting up there was to visit the grave of Ami Simple MacPherson, the founder of the Foursquare Movement, and I went to her tomb. And although I differ with the woman as a minister, you can project it. The Masterpiece. There are two series. The Masterpiece is the one we're talking about. From paragraph 27. He said, although I differed with a woman as a minister, but yet in my heart, I give admiration and respect for what she stood for. In the hour and the persecution and things she has to go through with, and the time of her being here on the earth. And then for her son, the love son, which is a bosom friend of mine, Ralph McPherson. And a group of ministers, we went up there. We didn't have time to go into the place where they have the cremation. The bodies are burnt in a box on the side of the wall. And in there, they have some. Okay, let me leave that. Now, after the prophet has, gave admiration to the woman, getting to the grave of the woman, then they were led forward. And then they go to another place. But then, one of the main things that interests me in Forest Lawn was Michelangelo's, the great sculptor. Michelangelo's great sculpture, the monument of Moses, is a reproduction there, of course. The work of Michelangelo, which he made of Moses' monument, was what Abraham went to look at again. And it was in the looking at this statue of Moses, carved or sculpted by Michelangelo, that Abraham caught an inspiration to come with the statue, the masterpiece. But then you will understand now the great mind of God in this masterpiece. What God intends to achieve, that God through this sermon has revealed to us, which in the rest of the sermons, here and there, but this is a sermon that specifically, just like the other sermons, the unveiling of God, the mighty God unveiled before us. Just like the other sermon, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. So these are bringing to us the very purpose of God's existence and bringing us on the face of the earth. Having the very purpose why he wants to have sons and daughters that will be in his image, that will be after his likeness. And then the prophet begins by looking at the statue of Michelangelo. It was a reproduction there, of course. It isn't the original. But it was such a great masterpiece. And as I stood and looked at it, I like that. Something that looked like it's got something to it. I like real artwork. The prophet said, I like art real well. I believe God is in heart. I believe God is in music. I believe God is in nature. God is in everywhere. And everything that is contrary to the original is a perversion. God is in dancing. Not the kind of dancing you do here. Not talking to the believers. But when the sons and daughters of God are in the spirit of God, see, that's dancing. Anointed. Like David's dance. After the ark was brought, from where it was kept from Obed-Edom's house, to the right place where they were supposed to place it. And David was dancing, by under the Spirit. But like we had to contend with the 2 o'clock where the prophet stayed this morning, up there in the lane, that's the perversion of it. This rock and roll, all this jackpot music and the rest of it. All the two-faced, three-faced, Mobad, Morotti, whatever. All this worldly music. And you see the youth of today cutting that. That's not Christian music. Our music is influenced by what we believe, by what the message of the hour says. We don't just listen to music. We extract music. We filter it with the understanding of the message. It is not all Pentecostal songs we take. Well, me, let me just say of myself, I listen very closely the one that is
I fear that it's talking about the thing that I believe, that the things that I listen or things that see that talks about elevates God, exhaust God. Praise be to God. But this and the masterpiece that Michelangelo had made, it cost him something to do that. He was a great man. And it cost a big part of his life because he was many, many years in carving out. Just like a rock or a marble, and kept carving it. And see, only the man, the sculptor himself, has in his mind what he is trying to do. He has in his mind what he is trying to do. Let's not sleep. It is too early in the morning. Only the sculptor that had in his mind, when you see an atma, you know, stood before a rock or a marble material or a wooden material, a stump to say, and you see him with his knife, with his hammer, with his whatever, and he begins to carve. You don't know what is in the mind of that man. He has a vision in his mind. And that is how God also had a vision in his mind, in his heart, what he wants to accomplish in his great mind. So when this Michelangelo was pecking away on the marble, on the rock, people around would just be looking at him. Just say, what is this doing? This man doing? But there was something in him that was driving him. He had a vision of the image of Moses right in his mind. By talking to people, he couldn't express it. But because he was a man, he had to look for a material to use. And with that vision in him and the skill that God has given to him to be an artist. Because somebody could have a vision, if he's not an artist to manifest it, it's a waste. God revealed to Moses on the mountain how the tabernacle should be constructed. The three rooms he should have, the holiest of holy, the holy place, and the outer court. And how the material should be fixed, how every part of that thing should be done. God gave the vision to Moses. But Moses wasn't going to be the one to do that. So what did God do? Because he is God, he had to put the wisdom and the skill into two people. And God told Moses, I've prepared these two people to work with you, and they are going to do it exactly as you will tell them. It's only God that can do that. A man on his own, and that is why you see trainings are organized. Skill acquisition are organized. It is only those who have the ability to catch it that will catch the skill. It's not everybody. Praise be to God. And see, only the man, the sculptor himself, has in his mind what he's trying to do. He is the one. You might walk up and say to him, what are you pecking on that rock for? To the outsider who doesn't know what is in that, what is in his heart, it is nonsense. But to the man, the sculptor himself, he's got a vision in his mind what he's trying to make, and he's trying to reproduce what he has on his mind in the form of a monument. See, that is the reason he's digging it out on the rocks. Now he's the man. He cannot speak his division in his mind into existence. He could not. He had to look for a material to do that. He had to look for a material and get a knife and get an axe and then begin to axe away on this and begin to do this one. Before you know it, the head appears and you see the face. You see this. And then you begin to carve it. And before the whole picture comes out. But God can speak his own into existence. What he had in his mind. Because he is the creator. Amen. The prophet said, and this to do, you have to start off right at the beginning. And you have to follow the pattern. See, you can't get a little piece to start off. We will make it this way. No. A man that is doing that must be consistent. Because it's the vision that he had. Now, a genuine sculptor is inspired. Paragraph 35. Like a genuine poet or any genuine singer, musician, whatever it might be, all real has to come by inspiration. All real. Everything that is real has to come by inspiration. Yes, because God that is behind it. Michelangelo must have had the inspiration of what Moses really looked like. He never saw Moses. But he had an inspiration of what Moses looked like. Just like Hoffman, who drew the picture of Jesus Christ. It was a man that produced this artwork. And in all the artwork about Jesus' portrait, this the prophet said, because he has seen Jesus many times, by that he knew the closest, and that is why he is using this. Because it's the closest to the picture of Jesus. He said, that's not how Jesus looked, really. He said, but that is the closest. He said, that is why I use it in all my literature. And you see the back of the sermon? You know, you have it there. And that's what we use to do. That's why we don't join you to all those ones that just anyhow person has drawn. We are following the prophet with regards to this. Yeah, because the prophet has seen, and that's why the prophet described the character of his face, that there is no artist that can ever get it. Because it is abstract. He said the face look as if he's looking at you, he wants to weep, full of love. He said, and at the same time, the face look as if he will speak to you, what will crumble. And that character cannot be mixed together by an artist. Can be mixed together by an artist. So, of course, the guy, when we look at this face, we see, you know, we have not seen Jesus before. The guy that drew it hasn't seen Jesus before, but he drew it by an inspiration. And when the prophets compare it with the vision of Jesus, that he saw that, very close to the picture of Jesus, to what Jesus Christ looked like. And the guy drew it by inspiration. That's what the prophet is saying, that everything original has to come by inspiration. Praise be to God. So, he had an inspiration of what Moses looked like, and he caught it in his mind, what Moses must have been. You see? So he set forth on this great piece of marble, the cutting to the pattern, and bringing down and honing down until he got to the real picture of what it must have been in his mind. And then when he got it also perfect, every corner off and every place rubbed, and the eyes just right, and every hair and beard, all just the way it was, he stood up and he looked at it. I think of many, many hard years of labor and how he had to hold that same vision all the time in his mind of what he was going to do. I just think that vision on his mind for so many years to make it look just exactly to what it was. He caught the vision first and how he had to walk to that vision, cutting up and making down. And when he got it to where he perfected it, till he really got perfect, he stood and looked at it when he finished up that morning with a hammer in his hands. And he was so inspired when he looked at it, because he now saw his vision brought to physical manifestation. He said, wow, this is what I had in my mind exactly. Oh, what an image of Moses with hammer in his hand. And the prophet was so inspired when he looked at it, because the vision of his mind was standing before him in reality. You see? What he has seen, his conception of what Moses was, there it was figured before him. What he had in his heart all these years, and toils, and hours of sorrow and distress, and critics. Of course, people will criticize him, you know. And critics, and everything else. But yet, he stayed right with the vision until it was completed. And then when it was completed, he stood back with a hammer, or sculptor's hammer, in his hand, and he looked at that monument, and the inspiration of the vision that he has seen, or how to do it, inspired him so much, till the inspiration struck him, till he got beside himself. And he struck it across the knee, and he said, speak! After he saw the image upon him, the vision he had in his mind of the image of Moses. And several years, the prophet said he had the vision in his mind. You know, passed through so many difficulties. And he was carving away on this, carving away on this, carving it. He maintained the vision. He sustained the vision. And finally, what he had in his mind stood before him in a figure. And he looked at it and looked at it, looked at it, and he said, oh, this is Moses. The prophet was so inspired, yet the hammer was still in his hand. The hammer that he was using, the chisel to peck here, you know, to peck here, he was still having in his hand. When he looked at him, the prophet was so inspired, looking at that word, that he took the hammer and he hit it on the leg. And he said, Moses, speak. Moses could not speak because it was an image. And the people said, oh, he destroyed the image he has been laboring for over the years. Now, there is a flaw on that great image. On the knee, on the right knee, just above the knee, about 6 inches in a place. I put my hand.
This thing is failing.
After he has spent all the time for years and years to make this, then under the influence of sin fulfilled, what he has seen in his heart and in his vision and desire to see, it was completed. And when it was completed, he was so inspired by it till it. His own masterpiece should speak back to him. He speak Moses because you look so much like Moses. And he struck it across the leg and he wanna speak. And he made a flaw on him. He put a flaw on the image. And the flaw was there. He didn't amend it. And I want to believe that God did not allow that amendment to take place because the prophet was coming there to get a message from that. The prophet was coming to get a message from that flaw. And the prophet said to me, the flaw made it the masterpiece. The flaw made it the masterpiece. Now, the reason Michelangelo got beside himself was because he could now see the vision of his heart now standing before him. The prophet said he got beside himself till he had forgotten that that was an image, and he said, speak. Moses, speak. Speak, speak. Let's talk. But the image of Moses cannot speak. Because it was made of a material of a marble or of rock or of wood. Because Michelangelo is not a creator. His image could not speak to him. God is the only one that can make an image after his own likeness. And that image will speak to him. The very reason that you and I were made was for fellowship. Michelangelo wanted fellowship from Moses' image. He couldn't get it. Because he was not a creator. But our God, the great sculptor, great creator, the one that speaks things into existence out of non-existence, the thing that brings things out of things that do not exist, things that do not exist, he called those things that be not as though they were. But because he has the power to create, he could bring something from the unseen to the seen. In fact, the present world that we see, this present world was seen in existence before until God said, let there be this. Now, maybe the mind that might think different, that the flaw made it a masterpiece. That was the prophet's conclusion. Because the prophet, looking at that image, studied it very well after understanding how long the man has taught. Of course, the prophet did not need anybody to tell him that An image of that kind will have taken the sculptor a number of years before he will come to that. An artwork, it takes time. I used to be a little artist myself when I was in secondary school. I was tending towards that. But when I realized that it will take my time, you have to sit down to do a lot of things. You know, of course, I wasn't so much given, but I had another thing to do. If I had concentrated on that, I would have been a better artist. But art, anything hard takes time. You have to maintain the vision, like you see here. You have to maintain the vision. You have to sustain it. Once that vision dies, that's the end of that. That inspiration goes. It is the vision that kills the inspiration. Once that vision goes, your inspiration goes. To bring it back is your struggle. Praise be to God. Now, maybe to the mind that might think different, you think that spoiled it. No, to me, he made it what it was. It is because so of after so many years of careful work and toils and inspiration and so forth of making it, his toil has proved not in vain. It was perfect. And that hole made it the masterpiece. Because if he had just left it there, it might not be meaningful. To a mind that was going to pick a message from there. If Abraham got there without that flaw, he might not pick that message. It might not be a masterpiece for the prophet. But he had to. Michelangelo had to be inspired to strike it. And he said, speak. And they kept it there. Because ordinarily, they should have amended it. Because the Christians, they should have amended it. He himself would have said, oh, I destroy my work. Let me just fix it. But because something was going to take place thereafter, God was using it as a message to his messenger to bring the message to the bride. To show you that he didn't throw the clay away. That he's still working on the clay. To make it to come to what he has in his mind. He's the author of salvation. He's the redeemer.
He's the savior.
And it's all in his hand. He does not commit it to the hand of any man. He does it all alone.
Hallelujah.
Because he has seen before him that he had been able to achieve, to bring to pass the vision that was in his mind. And therefore, under an inspiration, he did something out of the ordinary. He struck it and hold it. Speak. See, he wouldn't have done that if he had thought. If he had sat down to think. He shouldn't have done that. But he didn't think. It was inspiration of seeing what he had in his mind, setting there perfectly before him. His toils and wearies and long nights and hows away from the world for days and maybe eat a sandwich and rub on it and get back and no, that's just not the way it was. Now he's got to calm down this and rub it, discussing within himself, ruminating. Then when he saw it, just perfect, then he saw in reality. The negative of the what was in his mind and become real, it become positive. Therefore, he sprung up into it, he sprung into him. And it was so real that he must cry out, speak. To me, it was a reflection. It was a compliment to his work. That his own work was so inspired, that his own work so inspired him, that he would become beside himself to smite it and say, speak. I stood there and I looked at the monument. I thought of the hours that the man must have put in making that. They said how many years it was. It was a reflection of him because it was a contribution to his great art, his great work of what he was doing. And when he finally was able to achieve it, it was so great. Now, let us turn the page of Michelangelo and close the book. And let's open another book and read of the great sculptor, the Almighty. God bless you. By the grace of God, another time, the great sculptor. We'll be speaking of the vision in his mind. We'll be speaking of how he started and where he has led us to.
shall we bow down our heads.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for this topic this morning for the Sunday school. Thank you for leading your servant into this. Thank you very much, O Lord, our God, for the inspiration you give to the prophet, Lord, to bring forth this unto us, realizing you are God, you are the great sculptor. We thank you for the vision in your mind, what you had in mind before the foundation of the world, your children that they are going to have in each age. We thank you very much, O Lord, our God, for our Lord Jesus, Lord, who paid it all for us on the cross of Calvary. We pray thee, O Lord, our God, that you grant unto us the revelation of this thing. Grant it, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray that the understanding will not pass over our heads, O Lord, as we meditate upon this day. Help us as we continue to serve this, Heavenly Father. Be with your servant, O Lord, as we rush down to Bakatari this morning. Protect him from all danger. Use him over there to be a blessing unto your people. Bring him back safely in the afternoon. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' wonderful name, we pray with our faith and thanksgiving. Amen.
Of you that do listen class, please always move state. We want you to sit down to listen to the report. All the classes have to be present before we give the report. That's why we even sing the song. So you will be dragging your legs when you are coming here. There are still some of them in the adolescent class. Blessed be the name of God. Here is the Sunday school report. In the adult class, we had 123 brothers and sisters. The adolescent class, we had 25. And the children, 20. The total, 168. 144 Bibles we are seeing and counted. 20,180 naira was collected as an offering. Radhe Bumi taught the adult class. Olua Femi Adetiji taught the adolescents. Sister Ade Bumi taught the children. The memory verse for next week is Hebrew chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrew chapter 11. Please let the mothers take note. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, a word of thanksgiving. Our blessed Master, thank you for bringing us to the end of this service. A grateful to you, Lord, for answering prayers, for blessing our souls, for using your servants, Lord God, to be a blessing unto us. The offering collected, we ask that your blessing be upon it. May you meet with the needs of your people. There are many of them that Lord wanted to give but could not give. Lord Jesus Christ, we just pray that Lord will meet the needs, not only here, but not the nations of the world. We are looking out for further blessings in the rest of the services of the day. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' blessed name, we are prayed. The Sunday school is dismissed. God bless you.